Kishore and Alex.
Because you are a child of God through faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord is yours this day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together around your table as your people, as we celebrate this communion service and the gift of salvation you've given us. May we do so with the awareness that we are yours, purchased with the price, that we might reveal you to others. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was growing up in the Adventist church, I don't know about your church, but it was common practice that before we separated to go to the foot washing service and to take part in the communion, the pastor would always read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. If anyone eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, they will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Anybody else have that read to them before they took part? Was there any besides me and my brother Bruce who kind of felt like, oops, I guess I can't? Or were we the only ones? The question I want to pose to you this morning is twofold. As you look at that verse of Scripture, it says, if anyone eats the bread or drinks from the cup in an unworthy manner, they are guilty concerning the body of Christ. What does it mean to drink in an unworthy manner, as it said in the NIV, or unworthily, as it says in the ESV? And what does it mean to be guilty concerning the body and blood of Jesus? I think for most of us, when we heard that, we thought to drink in an unworthy manner meant that if you hadn't really lived up to everything you knew to be right and true, you probably shouldn't take part in the communion service. I think for a number of people, that's why so many people had a hard time coming to communion. Because notice on Sabbath morning when people come, they either don't come that day or they kind of slip out the back real quick because they're not worthy. Well, I've got some good news for you. That's not talking about whether you're good enough or not. It's really talking about the manner in which you take part and the attitude you have as you take part. And when it's talking about you're guilty of the body, it probably isn't talking about the fact that you killed Jesus one more time. I want to share with you for a few moments what that means. But I want to warn you, as I do so, I'm going to step on your toes in a couple places. So get ready. Kindly, of course. The letter to the 1 Corinthians was a letter to a church that was filled with all kinds of factions and all kinds of divisions, and there was a church that had all kinds of fragments to it. There was those divisions because there were some people who said, wait a minute, I was a follower of Apollos. No, I was a follower of Paul. No, I was baptized by Apollos. No, I was, you know, and so there were factions about who was a better Christian because of who they were baptized by. There were some who divided up because of immorality in the church, and some thought that there were some in the church you should let be in the church regardless of what they'd done and said, no, we needed to do something about it. There were some who were divided up in the church over lawsuits. There were those who were arguing about whether or not it was okay to eat meat that was offered to idols or not, and some were saying they were better Christians because they did or they were better Christians because they didn't, and so they were focusing on their behaviors. There were some who were saying they were better Christians because they had higher spiritual gifts, and there were some who were saying they were better Christians because, well, they were in a better class of society. Well, they never really said that, but that's how they acted. And in 1 Corinthians 11, if you open your Bibles to that, page 958 and 59 in your pew Bible, and in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul gives some scriptures that probably most Adventist preachers and many preachers have used more than any other scripture as they've done worship services, especially communion, because you use it four times a year. It's the text that says, where Paul says, listen, I want to tell you about the Lord's Supper. I'm going to convey to you what was given to me. I'm going to pass on to you. That the Lord Jesus night, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. Drink it, all of you, in remembrance of me. And we've used that to kind of be the form by which we do communion. And that's fine. But the ironic thing is that those verses are not there primarily to tell us what words to say before we take the bread and drink the cup. They're there for a purpose, and that purpose is there to show us the attitude we're to have towards each other when we gather together for the Lord's Supper. Now, what's interesting is they probably, we know they had a feast called an agape feast before they were doing the Lord's Supper. And that word for feast was a special word. You see, for breakfast, they usually had something very small in Greek society. They had a little bit more at lunch. But at supper, there were two words. One was just for the average supper they took. Another was a meal where they brought together their own food. And they would either eat their own food that they brought together as they came together as a community, or they would share the food they brought together. Now, I want you to notice what was taking place in the church at Corinth. It's verse 20 and 21. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal, and one goes hungry, and another gets drunk. Before some of you raise a red flag in your mind, you ask the question, does that word drunk mean drunk, as in inebriated, as in yes? There were people coming to the worship service, people coming there, and they would just start drinking until they were drunk, and then they'd take part in the Lord's Supper. Now, when Paul's talking about eating in an unworthy manner, I think he's probably referring to that as part of it. But what's interesting is he doesn't put that first, and usually you put what's most important first, and what he puts first is the fact that when they came together, those who brought a lot of food would eat their own food first, or as they shared the table, those who were of a higher class of society would make sure they got their lion's share first. And sometimes there wasn't enough food left over for the poorer among them to eat. And Paul uses the Lord's Supper to kind of chastise them for that. Paul says, basically, I'm going to tell you something. You're coming to celebrate the Lord's Supper. What's the Lord's Supper all about? On the night Jesus was betrayed, on the night Jesus was dealt with in an unkind fashion, he took the bread, and he took the cup, and he says, he's doing this for you. I just want to stop for a second. What Paul's trying to say is the Lord's Supper itself is so against what you're doing that you need to consider it all over again. When Jesus was betrayed and treated poorly, he still took the cup and said, I'm going to die for you. And he took the bread and said, this is my body. It's going to be broken for you. I'm doing this for your benefit, not mine. Why, when you come together to eat a feast before you take part in the Lord's Supper, are you all acting so selfishly and taking and beating the path to the table first so that you get your lion's share without any regard for the rest of the body? Okay, you ready to kind of winch your toes a bit? Anybody ever been at a fellowship luncheon and stacked your plate high without looking around to make sure that there's enough for everybody else? Would it shock you to know that there are times, it's happened at this church, the previous church I was at, it's happened to other churches, and believe it or not, it's happened to churches of pastors who are not Adventist, okay? Where people go home hungry because people took too much at the beginning. Maybe, we've talked about this in pastoral staff, what we should do. We wondered if we should put a sign up for friendship luncheons saying, please only take what you're going to eat and make sure there's enough for others. Maybe what we need to do is just leave a sign saying, 1 Corinthians 11, 20 and 21. You see, selfishness takes over the human spirit. And not only do we often just, do people sometimes take and pile it high without any regard, they make sure they get the choicest parts, and then they beat a line to the dessert table, and the homemade desserts are gone long before the ones from the stores. I may surprise you sometime and make you a homemade dessert for the fellowship luncheon, and those who get that first will wish they'd taken the store stuff. Why do I bring that up about fellowship luncheon? Because of what Paul says next. He says, you're not discerning the body. You're not paying attention to those around you. You're more concerned about yourselves than you are about others. And the Lord's table and what Jesus did at the Lord's Supper when he instituted it was to tell us we need not to be worried about ourselves first. We need to be concerned about others first as Jesus was. He's laying down a principle here, and that principle goes far beyond the Lord's Supper. It goes far beyond our fellowship luncheons. It goes to how we view one another on a regular basis. So when Paul says you're taking the Lord's Supper and eating it in an unworthy manner, what he's saying first and foremost is you're eating it aware of your own self and your selfish means without any consideration at all about others and their needs. When he says, when you do so, you bring guilt upon the body and blood of Jesus, he's saying you're denying the very purpose for which Jesus gave himself. He gave himself for others. And so, as we take part in the Lord's Supper today, the question becomes, and we need to do self-examination, it says, but the question becomes, in what ways? What is our attitude towards others as we take part? What is our attitude towards others as we take part? What's interesting is that word for unworthy is an adverb. It's not an adjective. An adjective describes what something is or a quality of that thing. An adverb describes the manner in which you do something. And so when it says you're acting unworthily, it's saying, what are you doing as you take part? I want you to notice something really, really special in this passage. When it talks about the fact that they were coming and they were eating their fill first and then some were even getting drunk, what it's really saying is you're taking part in the Lord's Supper either selfishly or carelessly. And you don't have to get drunk to take part carelessly. You can take part carelessly by being as somber as can be. You can take part carelessly by just sitting there and going, I've done this before. Been there, done that. You can take part carelessly by not appreciating the fact that you are not standing in the shadow of the cross, but in its saving light. You have reason to rejoice and be glad and to smile because God has provided everything you need to save you. What's interesting is that Paul said when they took part selfishly, they were despising the church. He's not talking about a church building. He says you were bringing shame and disgrace to those that you may go leave and go away hungry. And Paul says in doing that, you're eating unworthily. I want you to notice again the words that Paul quotes. He says, on the night Jesus was betrayed, treated unkindly, he took bread and gave thanks and said, this is my body for you. No, the King James Version says puts the word broken in there. It's not in the original, any original. They added that. It's for you, for your benefit. This is my blood for you. And the thing he wants us to know, and the thing he wants us to see, is that for you is plural. It's for all. And when we take part unworthily, we're saying, he only took part for me. So I want you to think about something for a few moments. What Paul is saying is, when you take part in the Lord's Supper, are you doing it in a selfless manner or a selfish manner? When you take part in the Lord's Supper, are you doing it because you have realized that you are accepting and have been accepted and are accepting, or you are rejecting? When you take part in the Lord's Supper, are you doing it graceful, or you do it in a way that gives shame? When you take part in the Lord's Supper, are you being inclusive or being exclusive? when you take part in the Lord's Supper, are you being uniting with others or dividing? There's one more thing I want to share with you about the Lord's Supper. And get ready, the other shoe might be pinched a bit. In the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we do something called the foot washing service. Back in the 70s, they started something which was all but a scandal. Some churches started having foot washing service where couples could take part together, husbands and wives. And a little bit later, they started allowing children and families to take part. And in this church, at least, we welcome children taking part in the service. We encourage the parents to explain it to them because Jesus said, let the little children come to me. The Lord's Supper came from the Passover service where all the family took part. And the parents were told, when the kids say, what's this all about? You explain to them how God had saved them from Egypt. And parents, you need to be explaining to your kids not just that what the juice looks like and tastes like, but what does it mean, as best they can understand it? But we have the foot washing service. And over the years, we started letting couples take part and families take part. And I've noticed something over the years. It seems to me as if we've almost gotten to the place where the couples only take part with themselves, with their husbands or wives and their families. And is it possible that when we do it that way, we are again not discerning the rest of the body? What about the singles? What about the visitors? What about the guests? Sometimes it's an easy out. It's uncomfortable sometimes to take part with a stranger or someone else in the church. But maybe taking part in the foot washing service with somebody other than your spouse or your kids is something that you need and that they need. For years, my wife and I have kind of, we'll do it with each other one now and then in the foot washing service. Other times we'll do it with other people. I'd like to offer that suggestion to you. Let's not get so comfortable with taking part in the foot washing service with our families that we neglect the rest of the body. I want you, for a few moments, I'm going to ask you to do this. I want you to look around you. Turn your head, look in back of you, look to the side. Look at the people around you. Okay? Take a good look at them. Every single person in your eyesight was someone that Jesus died for. Every single person in your eyesight is someone that Jesus values. Every single person in your eyesight is someone that Jesus longs to save. We may not always see things eye to eye, but we can always see things heart to heart. We may not always understand everything the exact same way, but we can always understand that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We may not always do things the same way and use the same methods, but we can always, always, always share with others what we know about Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. We may not always have the same gifts, but we're all called to serve the same. What a difference it would make if not just on Sabbath morning when we have communion, but every single Sabbath when we walked in the doors of this church, when we walked in the Sabbath school rooms, if we had a mindset before we came and we prayed and said, Jesus, help me to see people the way you see them this morning. What a change it would make within us. And that includes me too. And so this morning, I want to ask you two questions. Are you willing to take part in the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner by discerning the body of Christ the way he discerns us? Are you willing to take part with the recognition of the fact that he died for you and you and you and you and you and all of us? If you are, then we will experience the grace and the peace and the joy that comes from knowing that we are at the Lord's table as the Lord's people, that we might experience his peace and his blessing and his fellowship with him and with one another. At this time, we are going to separate. Those who choose to take part in the foot washing service may do so in the fellowship hall. There's one of the Sabbath school rooms is set apart for the ladies. We'll come back. There'll be music here for those who choose to stay. If you have never seen one of those services, would like to just observe, you may do so. But as we separate, take a good look at each other. Honor the fact that this is someone that Jesus died for and that Jesus values, and ask God to help you see each other as he sees you. Let's separate at this time.